Hey, Mike.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to West Coast Project.
Thanks.
And thanks for changing your schedule up for this. It's helpful.
Not a problem. No, not a problem at all. It worked out perfectly. Good timing.
I picture you whipping off your June Cleaver apron and wiping the flour off your hands and sitting in front of the microphone.
You'd be surprised how close you are to the truth right there. Taking off the pearls because they clank onto my microphone.
I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions about how this whole mess got started. Do you remember seeing him for the first time?
Yeah. You guys here on vacation?
Certainly are.
Welcome to the end of the world.
I know, right?
I wear choker. That's why mine don't clank on the microphone.
Ah, yeah, smart.
I'm Schiller here to do the Fair 402 on West Coast Project. These don't have names, these episodes, right? Just numbers, 401, 402.
I didn't see a name, but then I think I heard somebody say a name for episode 401. So I actually meant to go look, but I didn't see it. There's probably names, but I don't know.
Hey, Michelle, do we know who Joni's father really is?
Yeah, I think we know that Joni's father's Cole.
We think it's Cole.
I'm sure they would have gotten... Surely they got a paternity test. That was a couple seasons ago. It wasn't in this past season, or I would remember it.
So does everyone know everything, or does Allison know and not tell Noah? Does Noah know?
Does Noah know that Joni's not his?
Yeah.
Yes, he knows.
I think it might, Louisa might be the father. She looks more like Louisa than anyone else. She doesn't look like Cole or Noah.
No, but probably more like Cole than Noah. But you're right. I don't know. Actually, she looks kind of like Whitney.
So Cole thinks for sure that that's my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you think that Cole thinks that.
I'm reasonably sure that Cole thinks that.
All right. Well, anyone out there who knows who the father really is, tweet to us and tell us, or write to us or something.
Well, don't you remember, though? I mean, the same kind of thing happened last season. She slept with Cole, who is married to Louisa. He came in and she was in that apartment and she was begging him for some time with Joni, and he had all these feelings and they had like this one night thing. And then like the next day or the next day after that, Noah shows up after his stab in the neck and they go to Block Island and he shares all of his grief over his mother and what happened with her and everything with Allison, and they end up sleeping together. And I thought she was going to end up pregnant again and not know who the father was, which would have been funny.
Yeah, she slept with everyone. She slept with Max.
Oscar.
It's hard to take Allison seriously. Serious. I'm serious. I'm joking around a lot, but it is hard to take her seriously in this series, in this whole show.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to take any of them seriously, though, isn't it? I mean, is there any of them that you can really take seriously? Can't take Noah seriously. We know that. You can't take Helen seriously, particularly after last week.
I don't know. Helen and Noah at least are adults. I think Allison's a adolescent.
Yeah, you've always seen her as that way. I remember back even in season one, you saw Allison as like being portrayed like the child, like, you know, personality and everything. She always had on like the flowy dresses and just seemed much more childlike and young.
That's her freaky attraction for these idiot guys. They want that little damsel in distress, cute little teeny bopper girl that looks young, super. She looks younger than her age. She looks helpless.
Well, she is helpless. She gets herself into these situations that are tragic. I mean, obviously, everything's not her fault. Her son dying was not her fault. But it seemed like it threw her into this spiral of continuous problems that then she perpetuates, like, going off with Noah and doing the stuff she did with him and pushing Scotty out in the middle of the street and just all the other just terrible decisions that she's made.
And this poor new dope that's going to stumble into her life with all these problems.
Oh, I know, Ben. Ben, who's been good for like 7 months. And before
you
that,
you know that
life
that's fraught with danger.
It's awful.
It's just too much longer that he has to wait. And here's cute little Allison all hot to trot. You know, they're never going to last 5 months.
But what about Cole? You know, in the previous ons on this, prior to this episode coming on, they were playing hard on, like, the fact that Cole vowed to stay with Louisa, but that he was still in love with Allison.
Cole is an idiot. Cole should permanently wear that makeup all the rest of his life.
Yeah. By the way, if he happens to be listening or anybody, hand sanitizer will usually get permanent marker off.
Yeah, or anything. You don't go out into the world the rest of your day like that.
Right. Right.
You say, so what, your car's broken down? You got to wait 40 minutes. I'll be there a little later than normal. I got to wipe my dumbass mask off my face.
Yeah, I mean,
I would use paint thinner if I had to. I wouldn't go around my day with that.
Well, I think paint thinner might be jumping the gun. You know, there's steps in between, like, just plain water and paint thinner. There's, like, exfoliants and stuff. And I'm sure Louisa has something like that in her arsenal, as pretty and beautiful as she is and girly. I'm sure she has something that would help.
At first, I actually thought that was, like, Sharpie down. It probably is Sharpie. It probably is somewhat permanent. But at first, I thought it was going to mess up his investment because he was going to have to go to dinner looking like that in front of the investor group.
That's so hilarious. That's so funny.
Michelle, anyway, let's get into this. So the little pre-scene is Cole and Noah. Now some young new accomplice, some kid at the payphone 6 weeks, I guess, after current events.
Before current events.
Before? How could it be
no,
before?
No, I'm sorry. No, you're right. I don't know why I was thinking that. Yes, six weeks after. Yeah, but who is that guy?
Some hoodie that they're going to have help knock somebody off or buy information or sneak in and steal something. It's something underhanded. It's not detective. It's not some kid from the police academy.
No, not with the headphones and the, what was it? Soda in his hand and jelly beans, whatever he had. I mean, it wasn't anything like that. It was, I don't know. That's weird.
Jelly beans.
I don't know.
Hello, 1973.
No, he had something when he came out of the store. A snack.
Yeah, he's not taking it very seriously. Right. Cole and Noah are really worried.
Right.
A kidnapping associate, and he's like getting his Slurpee and his food from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they're teasing us about something that's some mystery that we're going to have come up, which is a little intimidating now that we've saw what has happened to Allison in this episode. So this could really be something serious with her.
Michelle, I did not like this episode.
Okay, tell me why.
Just because of its, well, I've hinted about a few things. But first of all, Cole's an idiot for not just snapping this deal up, or at least tactically snapping it up. Like, maybe I might be, but he should go home and be like high-fiving Louisa. Like, there's no doubt we're going to do this. Plus the whole crime, you know, he's an ex-drug lord. Why is he now standing on principle that I've got to stand, I represent this business from the time, I can't just hand it over to some corporate entity. That's bullshit, man. He needs money. His farm is lost. He could recover all that. He could solve a million problems just by doing this deal, and he's struggling over it.
Yeah, well, you saw the reason why, at least according to Allison. And
right.
The reason why is
that's
because it was something
reason,
they built together.
So
and it
what?
Was like, okay, that's his, other than Joni, that's his hold on Allison. That's his excuse for calling her and his excuse for having her around and all that. It's the way he gets to spend time with her that Louisa can't really say anything about because that's his business partner.
It's a and dumb so premise, though. She doesn't even show up for the meeting. She shows up late. She doesn't even care.
No, absolutely. I'm just saying that's what, at least according to Allison, is his rationale.
I think that's very weak. I think that's why another one of the reasons I don't really like it's like that's not making me believe that's why he doesn't want to sell. It's just stupid that he doesn't want to sell this business. I don't know. I don't buy it. How'd you like it?
It wasn't my favorite episode. I don't know, it just feels kind of over the top to me. Like with Cole, he's feeling like everybody is against him. Everybody. The policeman's against him. Louise is against him. Allison is, like you were saying earlier, juvenile and contrary and hard to get along with him. The druggie punk that his brother sold drugs to. I mean, he's definitely feeling put upon, and it just kind of felt over the top to me.
The other thing I don't like about television, Michelle, is when current events are heavy-handedly injected into plots. And this is very, very heavily handed about immigration and how cops are abusive towards like good, upstanding citizens. And it's like, come on. I guess we'll get into it when we get to that scene, but I don't think it would be that hard to dodge this whole immigration thing. She's married to the guy. He could say, where was she from? Nicaragua? Caracas? Somewhere? I don't know.
I don't remember. Ecuador, maybe.
Ecuador. He could say, I went down to Ecuador. We met on the internet. I fell in love when I married her. Now she's here. Not that she snuck in. She could do anything around this whole immigration thing. And they're married, right? Don't you get a free pass when you get married to somebody that's a U.S. citizen?
You see, I thought you did, and I was wondering what that was all about, but that just goes to show how little I actually know about the problem, because according to her, that wasn't it at all.
And if it's so dangerous, with so much on the edge, so much on the line, why even drive at all, ever? Why even take the chance? Somebody could pull out in front of you and the police have to do a report. It's stupid. It's just stupid.
Well, that and the fact that she was here, I think she said from the time she was 10. And the part that I didn't buy was the fact that she didn't seem like this timid, afraid person until this episode. Not at all. Not in any situation. We've seen her driving back and forth from Montauk to, where did she live? Was it New York or New Jersey or somewhere? It's pretty, or no, not her, but her family or something lived there. Because we've seen them, her going back and forth when she was first in a relationship.
Or somewhere in New York.
Right. So it was a trip, and she didn't have any problems with that trip. And I don't understand why all of a sudden, I mean, literally, just in this episode, she would be having this kind of fear. That's what I don't get.
Benny Blanco from the Bronx. I think that's Carlito's Way. That was a good movie. Anyway, Michelle, I don't like the injection of current events. And that's clearly, I could just see Sarah Treen being like the leftist lefty that ever left town. This is a very liberal show. I could just see that, you know.
But I told you that I had read an article, I think I told you last time, that Sarah Treen was saying that she really wanted to inject, you know, that she did not want the affair to be about four white people. That she really wanted to inject some, I don't think she said current events, but she did say like diversity and stuff. So I was completely expecting it to be brought current. So
yeah. Well, this is it.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me to see that in there at all, because I was kind of waiting for how she was going to make it current based on the article that I read.
They could do it better. I mean, they could do it like more nuanced, I think. Anyway, so Cole starts with Cole's version. Cole surfs and gets railed on by the surf kids. They bump into him and they give him a little bit of shit. So he meets these surf kids surfing. And he finds out somebody's bent his license plate frame and I guess broke his taillight. I couldn't tell the broken taillight.
Yeah, it was there. It was cracked and a little piece of it was chipped out.
But who cares? I mean, what? That's a huge problem to this guy?
He's about
to close a $2.2 million deal and he's worried about his broken license taillight.
Well, he's stressed that he's old. And the guy's calling him Grandpa, and that his favorite surf spot has now turned into what he refers to as like Malibu, and that all these people, he feels invaded upon, it feels like. Remember, Cole was like this kind of reclusive person. He liked the old house that he and Allison had with like the private beach and just not a lot of people. He definitely wasn't like the party dude, and now he's got all this. You know, they're shooing him out of the way to make pictures of the younger people. So
right, selfies.
Everything just set wrong.
Time rolls on, man. He got a roll with the punches, Cole.
Yep.
And as we said, he's in the middle of franchising the lobster roll and getting a big deal. So Louisa gets pulled over. And by the way, Michelle, car dramatic car incidents. And this is the second most dramatic one, but it's another car incident that could cause huge problems, and even if they're, in my estimation, way overly exaggerated.
Yeah.
Car, being in a car, pulled over by cops, or cars and problems. The cop has to leave for another problem and they get away.
But Louisa doesn't have her license with her. Do you think she has a license?
No, that's the whole point.
Okay.
How would she have a license if she doesn't have a citizen card?
I don't know. See, I mean, I hate that I'm that ignorant, but I don't know. I didn't know if you could or what. I don't know.
They do a little dance where Cole kind of leads her and she follows his cue by saying, you do have a license, right? And Cole's like, of course she has a license. And then she says, yes, I have a license. Louisa,
right.
Cole, last name, whatever. Anyway, they get off the hook. And I don't see why there was even a hook. But we just talked about that. So the meeting with the investors later, Cole finds his one tie. Cole does not look good dressed up. I will give him that.
Well, I mean, come on. That wasn't good. That wasn't dressy. That was, at best, you know, summer casual wedding dress, not investment banker $2 million dress.
No, that was country bumpkin with one tie. That wasn't even summer casual wedding dress. He's wearing a lumberjack shirt and a wool tie. Illy tied.
That Louisa found behind the washing machine.
His only tie. Although yeah. He's wearing a different tie later, so I would like to counter on Cole later on. Anyway, they're meeting with the investors. Allison's late. She shows up eventually with all her hair all wet. It's all a big joke to her.
Yeah, and they have really went to like a lot of trouble to do this. They even have their names printed out on portfolios and stuff, and it's a pretty serious meeting on the investor's end. And Cole is trying to take it seriously, or he acts like he is, but Allison, there's nothing serious about this to her.
All right, Michelle, I am in slap mode here because everything I have to say about the show, I'm kind of making fun and picking on it. I don't have much good to say about this episode, but these people are bending over freaking backwards to get Cole to do this deal. They right. want him. They would, if he would just sign on the dotted line, it doesn't matter what Allison does or how she looks or when, to what time she shows up or not at all. Her being casual about this does not put this deal in any type of danger at all.
Well, that's a good point. You're right.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's a point in the show that it's a joke to her, and she's just like it's not serious to her. But Cole, like I said, is an idiot for not just grabbing at this chance. And Louisa tells Cole, dude, you gotta do this. This is a no-brainer. And I mean, I give Louisa credit for that, because she's right.
Well, yeah, I mean, Cole's kind of picking it apart. You know, there's a scene up where they talk about how much it is, and he's like, no, it's not a good amount for, you know, for what they're getting, or what, you know, something like that. And he goes into why and everything, but the fact that they're taking on all the expenses, too, and that they, essentially, I mean, you know, it's like you get this chunk of money, and then you basically get an income the rest of your life, as long as the restaurants are doing okay, and who would put that kind of money in something that would fail quickly, you know, you would think. And he just is fighting it.
I don't even think that the money not being right puts the deal in jeopardy. I think he says, you know what, 2.2, screw that, it's $10 million. I don't even think that queers the deal. I think the people then say, oh, $10 million, that's funny, but okay, how about 2.8? I don't think he can mess this deal up except for saying no.
So then why is he scolding Allison like that?
Because for some reason he cares that she doesn't think it's serious, and she's just, it's all beyond her to even care about this.
So he just wants her to care?
I think the show partly wants you to believe that, oh, Allison could mess this deal up, but I don't see how she can. Yeah, I think Cole's like, why don't you care about this like I care about this?
Well, she's got to sign it, but she's probably going to do any...
She'll do whatever he wants her to do. Right. She doesn't care. She doesn't care about money. And for some reason, Cole doesn't seem to care about money. I don't know. Money's pretty damn important.
Well, she says that they've got enough money. She makes that a point to say.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Still, a good deal is a good deal, no matter how much money you have.
That's true. And it's not like this is a family business or anything. You know, you can understand if it were the family farm, he were... discuss and sell.
He could get the family farm back, though. It's the anti to what you just said. He could he could resurrect some wrongs that they've had to encounter.
But he seemed really, I don't know, like shocked that she would even bring that up, that Louisa would even bring that up, kind of like, oh, yeah, like I never even thought of that, kind of like whatever.
I think as a viewer, because I can't see why it's important, I'm either an idiot or it's just not that compelling. And, so I'm an idiot sometimes, but I'm not always an idiot. So it's just mainly not that compelling why, first of all, she doesn't care, but who cares that she doesn't care? Cole can do whatever he wants, whatever Allison does or doesn't do.
Yeah, he can do anything he wants, but what he wants is to have Allison. And that's his way to hang on to her a little bit. So I can see that. I really can. I don't think it's a good thing, and I don't think it's a healthy thing by any stretch of the imagination, but I can see why his giving it up would be giving up a part of her.
Well, that makes him even worse then, because that makes him a douche to Louisa.
Yeah, but we saw that anyway. I mean, come on. I mean, we saw that anyway. This is awful how he's being with Louisa. And why would Louisa want to be with him?
Because she does love him, but she has fewer choices, and she's kind of stuck with him. I don't know. So, Michelle, at this dinner, so they have the afternoon meeting, and then they're going back for dinner later. Did you notice anything at this dinner about Cole?
Yeah, he was... like a buffoon? Is that what you mean?
No.
No. Yeah, that's what I noticed. I noticed that he was ordering his steak well done, and he was, you know, and I know a lot of people do, and that's okay, but I mean, it just isn't very, you know, it's looked at kind of funny. And
What's looked at funny?
To order steaks well done in nice restaurants.
Not so much. Maybe in Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely, you know.
Squirrel doesn't hold up like beef does, huh?
Oh. But that, and the fact that he looked awkward, you know, like what you were saying. He didn't look. They're all in black suits and everything and dressed.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay, though.
He wasn't. And they poured the wine, and he didn't know to taste the wine and, you know, and give his okay for it. And that was kind of awkward, and then he wasn't listening to anything that was being said, and he's looking like for Allison the whole time.
You got warm, but then you veered away and slammed into a wall.
Okay.
No, you didn't slam into a wall, but yeah, Cole drinks it up at dinner, Michelle. I think he drinks it up. He tastes a little taste. Yeah, okay, good. Well, that bottle's fine. But then he like slams a pretty third of a glass pretty fast. I've said this before. Sarah Treen points out issues with alcohol often in this show, and I think Cole is like slamming down this wine pretty hard.
Okay, I saw him like hold up his hand, not wanting any more wine.
Yeah, but then he drank some more.
But then he drank
that.
It
he
anyway.
Did that actually enhanced it for me. That was a point they were making. Like, oh no, I don't want to. Don't tempt me. But then he had more after that.
Yeah.
Anyway, they offer him a franchise. They sweeten the deal by giving a Miami penthouse and a deal for Louisa to have a job as some restaurant director. Or
whatever. Hospitality director, yeah.
And Cole's eyes, while they're doing all this, stray to some girl that looks like Allison, or was that Allison?
No, it just looked like her from the back.
All right. And now how does Louisa make the jump that, oh, you're just thinking about Allison, when he's looking at a pretty girl? Isn't that a bit of a stretch?
Yeah, but she was right. You know, I mean, that's one of those kind of intuition feeling things. She sees him. He's not paying any attention to anything that's going on at the table. They're talking and they're laughing and they're schmoozing. And he's, you know, having to be like brought back into the conversation. Cole, what do you think? Cole, could you leave a toast? Cole, you know. And so she sees him staring at a female that from the back does look like Allison. And he's kind of lost in it. And he's got that look on his face. She's no sap.
I didn't like it. I agree that he's like thinking that Allison is way on his mind and she's important to him. But making the connection and then a one person removed connection that Cole looking across the room at a girl during a business meeting is thinking about Allison. That didn't register for me.
Well, but see, you have to remember this is Cole's perspective. So, you know, he knows that he was looking at her and that Louisa caught him, so to speak. And, you know, having just finished season three, like last week, and like having watched it again, and how he was about Allison and how he went to her apartment right before, you know, and then she's like, I still love you. And he's like, I love you, but I can't do what Noah did. I'm not Noah Soloway, like to leave Louisa for her. But he still loves her. And I mean, damn, what's he doing here? Is he doing Louisa any favors?
That's old history to me, Michelle. Season three is dead to me.
Okay.
Can hardly remember it. I can't even remember who Luisa's father is. Or not Louisa, Joni. Anyway, later at home, Louisa rips him. But, you know, he's, like I said, he's an ex-drug lord. And it's hard to stand on principle for just like a family and this, we started this. And I guess you're right. It is because it's Allison, even though he won't really admit that to Louisa.
Now, Cole was a drug lord. That was Scotty.
His family. Cole knew everything that was going on with that family.
Yeah, but that was Scotty. I mean, you can't blame him because his brother did something. Not really.
They had a whole operation.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They did. Okay, never mind.
Cole saw the room with the secret knock and the door that locked. Remember all that?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
All right. So, like a dope, he wanders out on the beach where all bad things happen. Again, at night. Don't go on the beach at night. I thought for sure he was going to come across the girl like Noah with Allison. And he almost did. He kind of was flirting with one of those girls.
Yeah, and she was flirting with him. I didn't know where that was going to go.
I think that was all planned out, that the kids all thought, okay, we'll keep this roofie handy, and if anyone comes along that looks somewhat affluent, we'll roofie them and take their wallet and circus paint their face.
That's kind of an elaborate plan. I don't know, because, you know, she was drinking the beer before she handed it to him. So that doesn't make any sense. I don't know what, you know, I didn't understand what did that to him.
Why would they roofie a random guy on the beach? Or whatever drug it was?
Yeah, well, this guy is after Cole. He has animosity toward Cole. The one who hit him, we find out, you know, he knows who he is. And he does not like the Lockhart family. So he's deliberately being ugly to him.
See, I did not pick up on that. I just thought he bumped into Cole and then he remembered him from at the campfire. Oh, yeah, you're the guy. And then
no,
of course.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he knew who he was when he cornered him at the lobster roll.
Right.
But I don't know that he is planning all this.
Well, he knew who he was at the lobster roll, which means he knew who he was on the beach, at least. And they drugged him, or at least got him so high that he was drugged, and then wrote on his face and stole his wallet. I mean, felt personal.
I want to believe that it was coincidence just because it makes more sense. There's so much that doesn't make sense that they had planned all. They can't make sure. How do they even know he's going to walk down the beach later?
Well, yeah, right. I mean, of course, they wouldn't know. But when he comes up, they like take advantage of the fact that this is Cole Lockhart.
Yeah, but you got to have some drugs ready to do that.
Yeah, I didn't understand what even happened with Cole, honestly. I don't know how you have a swig of beer and it looked like he, what, smoked some marijuana or something and that was the end of it.
Yeah, but you're right. She was drinking the beer and they were all smoking the same marijuana.
Right.
Anyway, he does flirt with that one girl and that almost makes it kind of planned. Like the pretty girl gets him to do what she wants him to do.
Right, and I don't know if we just didn't see the rest of it and what happened, or if we're supposed to believe that he was actually drugged. I didn't get it either way.
So he stumbles home in the morning, and Louisa points out that his face, she's mad at him for not coming home, for one thing, but then she sees his face and points out that his face is painted on, and he immediately gets his gun to go blast them, and eventually
yeah.
They laugh it off.
Was that crazy?
Yeah, Cole, I don't know, you want to kind of count on these characters being either one thing or another, not all over the frickin' map like this. And Cole seems like he is sensible and responsible and a business owner, and he's like shepherded this business to a valuable state, and he's ready to cash in on it. But now all of a sudden he's a gunslinging, angry, you know, hillbilly again.
Well, Cole is the most responsible out of all of the four main adults, by far. And, yeah, we saw another episode, I think it was back in season one or something. Remember where he had the gun, at least in somebody's side of it, and he was holding it on...
Noah.
Was it Noah? Because Whitney said that he held a gun to her head. Remember when she was telling the story later on, she embellished it for her stuff, and it wasn't like that at all. But yeah, so we've seen that he can do that, so it's not completely out of character, but just the hot-headedness of it. Like, you're not mad enough because somebody bumped you on the beach and ran into your car and stole your wallet and drugged you, but you're mad because you have squiggly lines drawn on your face. Enough.
Yeah, and got roofied and got robbed and whatever.
That's what I'm saying, but the rest of it didn't do it to him. The lines on his face is what threw him over the edge, and he runs and gets the gun, and then Louisa wrestles him for the gun. I mean, he's got a gun in his hand, and she's like wrestling him. I don't know. That was weird to me. That was way over the top.
Yeah, I could see her wrestling with him. I don't know if she'd be successful in getting the gun away from him, but he trips, falls back. I mean, who knows?
Maybe he's still high a little bit or something.
More dumb arguments about the lobster roll. She thinks that he wants her to tell him not to sell so that he can sell it and look like the anti-Allison hero to Louisa. This is after he goes and sees Allison with the car problems.
Right.
More
right.
Dumb arguments. Do you think this all needs to be like plotted out like this? That she doesn't just say, "Look, I don't care." Why doesn't she just say that?
Yeah, because she really doesn't care. I don't think. I mean, I don't think she has any interest in selling it. The thing about it is this, in my view, Allison, she doesn't work at the Lobster Roll. And just because she's owner of the Lobster Roll, they pointed that out really specifically last season when she came back and the court was asking, does she have a job? And she said, well, I'm part owner in the Lobster Roll. And they go, yeah, but that's not a job. Anyway, so she doesn't work there anyway. All Allison does is sit back and draw a paycheck, which is what she'll do if it sells. It's really no different to her. The only difference it's going to be, it's a Cole who gets up every day and goes to this restaurant.
Yeah, maybe. So there's a lot of facilitating going on here. Like, Allison, you're right. Allison does whatever she needs to do to facilitate whatever she wants to do in her life. She wants to run off and go to the groovy camp. She does that. She needs a job. She's a waitress at the Lobster Roll or a part owner or whatever. And, you know, I don't know. It's hard to grasp this. And then Cole can just change from responsible to gun-wielding maniac. There's nowhere to sink your teeth in.
Right, right. I mean, because that's really over the top to go after somebody. I mean, you know, it's bad to have somebody steal your wallet, but to go home and think about it and then go out with a gun, and he don't even know who the person is. I mean, it just was crazy.
And he's saved by the wacky person who thinks she's going to be deported any minute and her life's a mess. And she's all of a sudden responsible.
Who suddenly thinks she's going to be deported. Suddenly. She's been here since she was 10 years old. And
yeah,
suddenly.
She'd be at DACA. She'd be like, I don't know. Anyway, Allison also calls him establishment, which is not Cole at all.
Yeah, well, she says because he has the big house on the beach and drives a Jeep and tips well, that he is the establishment.
And that's Cole another doesn't thing. How does Cole have that big house?
Well, the lobster roll makes some bank, I think. I think they were talking about it really making some money. If Allison doesn't even work there and her portion of it is plenty to keep her in school and allow her to volunteer and she hires these attorneys and everything else she's doing, I think... You know, and also there's something else that we're not talking about. Woodlawn, and this is another thing. Okay, this is like a gaffe in this. This drives me crazy. Woodlawn is, we found out last season, is 4 hours away from Montauk, where she's working. And they're just showing her driving back and forth like it's down the road. Because that was a big deal when she went there to... talked to this girl at the advice of her doctor, the doctor that helped her when she went off the deep end. And he offered her a job because it really helped this woman. Cole was so mad. He's like, you just literally, like the day before or something, got partial custody or half custody or whatever of Joni back. And now you're going to take a job 4 hours away. They made a real big point of that. So I don't even see how she's doing this. She's like picking Joni up from school and dropping her off from school, but she's going to a job that's a literal 4-hour drive away.
Maybe there's a ferry that shaves that time down in like 15 minutes.
Maybe. I'll have to research that.
All right. So Cole, later on, going back towards town, sees the surf druggie and catches him. And the kid calls Cole a drug dealer, the one who got him started at 15. So yeah, Cole was a big part of that operation.
And calls him sanctimonious.
Call the police. Let's talk to the police about this Cole Big Daddy. Kid's like fearless. The kid, you know, that actually was a good point. That Cole, that reminded me where Cole, from whence Cole came. Not a good place.
Yeah, and... it kind of took Cole by surprise, too. I mean, he let him go after that. So,
well, he had still... to.
Well, I mean, did he?
Yeah, Cole doesn't want that. Cole's about to close a $1 million deal, and he's about to be dragged into some kid accusing him of being a drug dealer? That would not be good.
I guess, but how many years ago was that?
I don't care if it was 40 years ago. It's like... do you really want that anytime for even if he doesn't have a big deal pending? Like, you're right. What's the upside for him? He gets to punch the kid?
No, but I mean, you know, are you going to let the kid just like come in your house now and steal your stuff?
No, but because the kid's not going to call the police on him? That's what I'm saying. Cole's worried about the dumbest little incidental stuff, his broken taillight. All right, $220. That fixes that. Kid stole my wallet. I had $90 in cash. Whoa, that's $90 gone. Oh, my face. It's got to have to wipe my face off. His ego is bruised a little, but so what? These are all so whats that are set in front of us as important plot points.
Yeah. I mean, the wallet stealing was big to me. I mean, you have your credit cards and your driver's license and important
stuff.
I don't know.
All right. Allison, okay, now we go to Allison's half. Allison's half is shorter, I think, than Cole's first half.
Yeah, I think
so. Allison meets with herself, I put, Michelle. This woman who comes in is Allison, like, 5 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, whatever.
Right.
She's a version of herself. She's the mom of a kid and another kid who had died. Did they say how the kid died?
No, they didn't.
A deceased child and has an abusive PTSD father.
Right.
The other kid is very troubled, drawing horror pictures of the father that look cartoony and what a kid would do to draw the picture.
Sure.
And that's very clearly not a good scene with the kid thinking that way of the father.
Right.
The mom doesn't know enough. I was about to say know how, but she doesn't know enough to get away from this guy. And Allison tries to help her by listening. I think what Allison really needs to do is lay down the frickin' law and tell her to get the hell away from this guy. I mean, that's why they're saying Allison is good in this job and she's won this position because she's relatable to the patients even beyond what the psychologists, psychiatrists do.
Right.
But I think Allison supporting this woman is not good in the way that she's trying to listen to her when she needs to just tell her, you need this guy on like restraining order.
Yeah. Well, okay. At this point, when I was watching it the first time, I would disagree with you because we don't know anything about this guy. And the mom really hadn't said anything. Abby, I think her name was. She hadn't really said anything about this guy, her husband, Tony. She insinuated things, but she didn't say anything about him. And Allison is kind of trying to feel around it and everything. And I completely got that. Once we find out.
What about the picture, though?
Yeah, that wasn't good. But, I mean, I don't think that a kid, a 7-year-old, drawing a picture of somebody who looks like a monster and called him daddy. I mean, any kid could do that at any point that they were angry or playful, or maybe daddy had a mask, or I don't know anything. I just think it would have been a really big thing to jump to that.
No,
at that point.
I don't think it's big at all. You saw that woman. She was quiet and afraid and her face was drawn and she was exhausted and tired and just world weary of everything.
Well, yeah, but she just lost a child. I mean, who's to know what to blame it on? And even when Tony came in there, Mike, he was saying she doesn't sleep. She wanders the house. And obviously, he was violent, but we didn't know that for sure until then. But, you know, and that there was no food in the house, and her kid is eating dry pasta because there's nothing for him to eat. So, I mean, she's not doing well either. Not that he is, and not to excuse anything in any way at all, but this whole family dynamic is awful.
The problem is that everybody's right. I mean, even part of what Tony's saying is right. God, I feel like Tony sometimes. Like, he's saying, like, okay, every time we come in here, it's $350 to do this. We don't have $350, and you don't know about our family. And, you know, he's suffering from a recognizable malady, PTSD, that's probably causing him to be like this. I mean, he's not a nice guy or a good guy, but it's understandable partially, at least, what his position is.
Sure, it is. Not the violence in any way, but the stress of everything he's going to. The mother's not the only one that loses the child. The father loses the child too. So he's going through all that. Plus, we presume being the provider for the family based upon something he said. I can't remember. And, I mean, it's too much on him, too. And just like she's not taking care of her little boy, you know, he's not doing the right things either. And, like I said, still, that sounds like I'm making excuses for the violence, and there's none. But I didn't know about the violence until he came in violent.
Yeah,
for sure.
There was enough warning signs, I think, that you got to see, like, this is how it looks when that thing goes on. And so the first piece of advice is, like, separate.
Yeah.
But I guess we should say that before all this happens, the Dreamboat guy mistakenly walks in on Allison's office, right?
Yep, accidentally.
Somewhere in there.
Yep.
He comes in and, oh, I'm in the wrong place. It looks like a clever thing to do if you want to meet a pretty girl, but I think it's probably on the up and up. He's just stumbling into, he's on the wrong floor.
Right.
And then Allison walks him up and shows him the right floor. But where are we? So the mom, the mom with the newly deceased kid, won't tell the psychiatrist anything that she's sharing with Allison.
Right.
So, and then she talks to Allison and sees, I don't know if she knew before she saw the pictures on the desk, but it seems like she does because of the way she's relating to Allison.
Yeah, Allison's job, I think she called it, is a like a peer-to-peer thing. That's why they started this, was to have these people who've been in that situation who can relate. Because that's something that's very specific, a very specific kind of trauma to lose a child. And So, yeah, I think she did absolutely know that.
She's clearly looking forward to seeing Allison more than the time she's just spent with the psychiatrist.
Absolutely.
So she relates to Allison. So the she sees the pictures on the desk and knows, she does know the story, I guess, because she says, is that Gabriel or is that the one? And Gabriel
she
and
asked
Joni.
Which one? Yeah, which one is what she asked.
And her daughter, I think, is the one that is deceased.
Yes, that's true.
All right, so this is a, then I have, after that, that's where the Dreamboat guy shows up. So maybe that's where it is. So he's ex-army. He's in, he's smart. He's in shape. He's good looking. He's got some good girl game. He knows how to talk and rap and talk the talk with Allison. But Michelle, he's in sex AA or AA where he can't have sex or something combination of both.
He can't date or have sex, and he's telling her some pretty intimate things here, because before that I put, when they were going upstairs, she was taking him on the elevator, I put, you know, as a little Michelle note, and Allison gets pregnant on the elevator between the first and second floor. But obviously that doesn't happen because, you know, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, so Allison's had a pretty intense hour here of emotion and input from other people. This guy telling his story, or at least a hint of his story. He doesn't really get into all of it yet. And then this woman with the deceased daughter and pretty soon the dad. But anyway, the next scene, the abusive guy comes in and it's, the guy looks like hell. He's all tired and weary and angry looking, and comes in and locks the door behind him, and he and Allison are locked in the office, and he starts to threaten her and choke her. And the military guy, I think his name is Ben. Comes in and saves the day. I guess he kicks the door open. I don't know how he gets through the door. Crappy door.
Yeah, probably.
And then the mom is mad that Allison blows the whistle on Tony and glares at her as Tony's taken away, with the kid saying, "Oh, Daddy, don't take Daddy away."
Oh, yeah. I mean, how much more traumatizing could it be for that woman and her kid?
It has to happen, though. It's the best thing that could happen, in my
view.
Well,
but not in that situation. I mean, it didn't have to happen like that. Yeah, she should have been away from him, but there could have been easier ways for her to be away from him than this kind of violence. And also, like I said, when he was talking to her, even though he was angry and over the top and violent and ridiculous, I did believe the stuff that he was saying about the mom not doing well either. And that it was just like this no-win situation. He was at the end of his rope because
But he's the kernel of the problem.
Absolutely.
And the fact that the kid, how did the kid die?
We don't know. He says that he held his daughter in his arms and watched the life drain out of her. That's the only thing I saw about
it. With his hands around her throat.
I don't know. No.
Anyway, so they later go out for coffee because they can't have a drink. But the military guy shares his PTSD story with Allison. Then we see the repeat of the battery, dead battery, with Cole showing up to save the day.
Yep.
The battery's dead. Cole shows up with frillier face painting than before. It is. It's funnier.
Frillier. Yes, it is.
The first one looks. The first one looks like mean. This one looks just funny.
Yeah, he did.
By the way, Michelle, Allison's car seat is gangbanger low. If you drew a line from her eyes to the road in front of her to the hood, it would that plane would be 2 inches lower than the top of the steering wheel.
That's funny. I didn't notice.
Her seat is. She's short. She's small for one thing, but her seat is reclined so much that you would be looking through the steering wheel, not over it.
Okay, I didn't notice that. That's funny.
Anyway, Cole comes and they talk. Allison claims she's trying to move on with her life, and Cole disagrees and saying that your whole life is around Gabriel. His death has become your identity.
Yeah, that even you're even taking a job and making it like your life's work, essentially. Yeah.
So they sling some psychological accusations at each other, like that was one. But then Allison says, well, you can't sell the lobster roll because you've got nothing better to spend your time on. And that's probably partially right. Like, what's Cole going to do once he sells the lobster roll? And his pinnings to Montauk become less and less and fewer and fewer, and his pinnings to Allison.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that she says that the lobster roll was Scotty's idea, because it was, remember?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even their idea. It was just something that they kind of took over.
So Cole rides to school with them and then says goodbye to Joni at the school. Allison, that's at this point where she reminds him it was Scotty's idea. His plan to get straight. Like, I can get out of this drug thing, this drug empire that we have, and just we can go legit.
Right.
So she asked him why he's holding it on to so bleh. She asked Cole why he's holding on to it so hard. And he says, it's something you and I built together. So he pretty much verifies what your premise is, that that's his connection to her.
Right. Right. But we kind of knew that. We can see that in the whole way he's looking at her and being with her and thinking about her, particularly when he's telling his side of the story.
So, Michelle, after all of this, Helen is pining for Noah and Cole's pining for Allison.
Yep.
The next affairs are going to be the reuniting of the original quartet.
And Allison was pining for Cole last season. She was saying that her punishment for the stuff she has done is to stay in Montauk, help to raise her daughter, share her daughter with Cole, and watch him grow old with Louisa. And that was going to be her punishment.
The cheating people are the ones cheated on are going to be the Vicks and Louises of the world. By the way, did you know Vic was Indian, Michelle? I guess we saw his mother. His mother looks kind of Indian.
I did not know.
But his name is like Vikram or something. It's not Vic, like, yo, Vic from the hood. It's V-I-K, Vikram. Vic the doctor.
Yeah. But no, I didn't know his nationality.
Yeah, it's not Vic from Brooklyn. Anyway, back at the office, Allison pauses. When she opened the door to her office, did you notice she looked kind of like, whoa, I remember that this just happened here. And
right.
I thought it was like more than just like I almost got my ass kicked by this Tony guy, but it was kind of an evaluation of like, why am I doing this counseling gig? Like a quick like scan and evaluation of her life.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't carry it that far, but it was almost like the trauma coming back to her. And we've talked a lot about trauma, particularly like with this PTSD and the family that was in there, and then the guy Ben and his PTSD. And I just felt like they were kind of showing us Allison still has these moments of the PTSD too, and the stuff that she went through.
Yeah.
Anyway. And I thought it was funny, just to back up one little bit before we finish it out, when they were having coffee together, he asked about her, you know, are you married? Do you have any children? And Allison doesn't mention Gabriel at all. And I really thought that was really weird, because we've seen her many times over all these seasons when anybody says, like when she was pregnant with Joni and she's at this schmancy party with Noah and somebody said, is this your first? And she goes, no, it's not. I mean, every time she's always counted Gabriel. And in this one, she says that she has a 6-year-old daughter. She doesn't mention
that
Gabriel
may be,
at all.
That may be healthy, though.
Yeah, I don't know that it's not. And I don't know that it's not healthy, at least at that point in the, you know, friendship or whatever they have, that the, you know, 15-minute meeting that they had ago. But I just thought it was worth pointing out that it's the first time I've ever heard her
not acknowledge Gabriel. It's socially healthy. I mean, it's more polite to the person that doesn't know that your son drowned. You know,
it's more polite to the person.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty heavy burden. Son drowned when I was a nurse, but I couldn't revive him. Cricket. I mean, that'd be hard. She met this guy an hour ago or whatever.
Yeah, no, but he's already telling her that he was impotent for a while.
Yeah. But
I mean,
yeah.
they're really kind of bearing their souls here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, but I also thought it was really neat, one of the conversations that they had, that he was talking about the traffic lights and how he found the traffic lights here confusing. I thought that was a really interesting perspective because he was talking about when he was overseas that nobody paid any attention to that. It was war. So you didn't pay any attention to the traffic light. And then back over here, even if no one was coming, you had to like obey this mechanical piece of equipment just sitting there, and how confused he was with that. Even well, so, I thought he was interesting.
Sarah Treem's a pro. I bet she literally probably talked to soldiers and got them to share some of the things that seemed different after they came back than before they left.
Well, that was really a cool visual that gave me, and that really was real telling. So I enjoyed that.
So they make a date for 5 months in the future, a date that will never happen, Michelle. Something's going to happen before 5 months, or they won't even know each other 5 months from now, or both. But you know it's not going to go smooth with this new dreamboat dude.
It's not going to go smooth, but I think it's going to go. I think something will happen. We may even jump ahead to the 5 months in the next episode. A lot of time has passed here. Joni, when we left off at season three, I think Joni was 3 or 4, and Joni's 7 now.
Yeah.
And I don't think they portrayed that a whole lot, but a lot, I mean, you know, Cole was in the middle of building his house. It was just framed up, and now they're living in this house. Looked like they've been there for a while. I mean, there's been a significant amount of time passing, so I wouldn't be surprised if we get, you know, another little time jump here and she's with Ben.
Well, and the lobster roll had to grow enough to be attractive to some investor. That doesn't happen 3 weeks sure. after you start it. Sure. So we got Helen and Vic. We got Cole and Lisa. We have Allison and Ben now. And we have Noah and nobody. But Michelle, did you look at the next on scenes?
I did.
He's kissing some hot new black chick.
He is.
Some agent or something. Who is that chick? Do you know?
No idea.
And Max, poor Max, probably still a bachelor.
But Helen and Vic are struggling, and Noah has this different love interest. So we're going to see some of that next time. That's about all I got out of it.
What's next for the show called The Affair when there aren't any affairs going on? They got to cook up some new ones, right?
Yeah, I don't know. They do this, though. We kind of touched on this last time. It's not just about... See... Personally, I think the show would have been enough just to have the affair, the ramifications of the affair, the ripple effect of the affair, and all the little, you know, the butterfly effect and how it changed so much for everybody. That would have been enough for me for this. I feel like they kind of add on. A lot of times we have like the Scotty thing and the trial and the Whitney thing. And then we had the Juliet and her husband part in France last time. It was just so much that it's hard to focus on the nuances. I think you said it earlier. You said they don't have to be so over the top with this. They could do it with a little more finesse or something. And I agree. It's like this over the top thing. So I think that we're going to see whatever they're hinting at the beginning of each of these episodes, that's going to end up being something. I don't know. In that article I read, Sarah Treem said she wanted to do one more season after this season. That was like her thought process at the time. So,
all right. Well, in real life, you know, Allison would send her lawyer to the meeting. She wouldn't go to them. In real life, couples don't really spend more time with their exes in their exes' lives. Noah wouldn't really probably move to California, you know. In real life, exes are ex, and they're very, very segregated, and they spend very little time with their exes.
Well, and specifically because two of Noah's kids weren't even there. They were, I think, back east. So, you know, he's going to move all the way out there to be with the two kids that are left. So, yeah, that was a kind of a stretch. I mean, I guess he could, you know, anything could happen like that. But, and particularly, he might have wanted to get away because of his past or whatever. There's any number of reasons why he would have. But it just feels like an upheaval for no real...
Yeah, California's a big place. You don't need to come. You don't need to cross paths with Helen, even if you do move out there because you want to move far away from the East. The fact that they're in each other's lives is the part that's a little bit implausible. Anyway, especially people with these problems that, you know, they're saying, oh, the kids, they're kind of giving attention to their kids. But I think even in real life, good people don't do that. Sometimes they separate, you know, they see the kids separate from the other person. I don't know.
I don't either.
All right, Michelle, I think next episode's entitled 403.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And that's we'll see, hopefully, who Noah's new love romance is.
Who knows? Who knows how far in the future we're going to go? There may be other babies and other, who knows? Who knows? We have to remember this show in its time. I mean, we've done four seasons. This is our fourth season. And we've come, how long? 10 years or longer in their lives? That's a long time, right? Because Gabriel had been dead, I don't remember how long, when the show started. And then there was a lot of time before she got pregnant with Joni. And then she's pregnant with her for, you know, the 9 months. And then she had her, and now Joni's 7. It's been a long, long time.
I wonder how our friend the waitress is doing in her Brooklyn job.
I would really like to know.
Can't even remember her name.
I knew it till you asked me.
Anyway, so next week, 403. Michelle, you got anything to report before then?
Her show name was Jane.
How do we reach you on the internet?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've lost. I'm on Twitter, at Michelle from TN.
And people, Michelle, are looking for your other podcast. So tell your other stuff you're doing. Are you done?
I'm not doing anything else right now. But my husband and I, and sometimes Mike here from West Coast Project, have been on, have done The Americans and a couple of other shows at Tribal Rant, and you can find all that information for those shows at tribalrant1word.com.
Yeah, Rashomon.
I think that was on West Coast Project, yeah, and we did that. There was something else Mike was saying recently we needed to do with
Rififi.
You. Was that what it was? Yeah,
the movie from The Americans.
We should do that.
It's too late. It's gone.
Okay.
All right, Michelle. So, yeah, West Coast Project, we do Better Call Saul and some other stuff, too. And yep. When does the slap start this season?
Better Call Saul comes back on mid-August, I think.
No, the slap. When does the slap
start? The slap. I haven't heard anything about the slap. Have you?
That was the best show for podcast ever.
It was so good, but you were a little bitter in it, I think.
Because you could make fun. You could pick out the parts you wanted to be serious. I guess we're kind of doing that with this, too.
Yeah.
We're making a lot of fun of this, but.
Yeah.
A lot of people like this show. This is their soap opera.
They do. Man, people love this show, but it is good, you know? You really get into it, and particularly with these different perspectives and stuff. I mean, I really do like that. That is so unique, and I have to give them props for that because it just keeps you so interested to see, like, how Cole felt about something and then how Allison saw the exact same event and stuff. I love it.
Yeah, I like the premise, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so at Michelle from TN, Twitter, tribalrant.com, tribalrant.com,
yep.
westcoastproject.com, and my Twitter is at scathingtweet. So, Michelle, till next week, that's about all I got.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.